And once I grabbed onto that, it was like, whoa, my green, innocent, hopeful self said, I've got a lot of learning to do.
Hey there, I'm Julie. Welcome to Uncomfy, a podcast about sticking with moments that challenge us. We share the stories of real people in moments that challenged their perspective. And instead of getting angry or shutting down, they stuck with the discomfort. They stayed curious and open, and they're glad they did. We hope these stories inspire you to stick with it too, because there is so much to gain. New empathy, deeper relationships, more clarity about our own views. I'm glad you're here. Now, let's get uncomfy. Here's a story about a research project that led to a big shift in perspective. I'm joined by Michaela Birdieshaw. She's a life coach with a background in social work and teaching, and her coaching business is called Joy Enterprises. She also hosts a podcast called And All the Things. Michaela, welcome. It's so great to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited, maybe a little uncomfy, but isn't that what we're here to do?
That's the whole point. Exactly. And I appreciate your willingness to go there with us.
Absolutely.
So let's dive straight into your story. What was going on that led to this moment where you faced a challenging perspective and had to choose to stay uncomfortable?
Yeah. So, you know, I graduated high school in 1998, just as a frame of reference. So I went to college in a world of microfiche and like textbooks and such.
So, card catalogs, that's
yes.
how I did my research.
Oh, the Dewey Decimal System. I, as a former English teacher, I absolutely adore it. But, you know, so I go to college. I'm idealistic and green. I know what's right. So I go to college. I take this class. And the assignment was pick someone. I think we had to pick a name out of a hat. I picked Thomas Jefferson. Tell us everything you like about this person. Okay, great. He did X, Y, Z. He did this. Now, let's take the other side. What's not so great about him? And I had to look at it and go, okay, well, how do I find this information? So I go to, do you remember the microfiche? They're this old antiquated box where you look in at tiny images of newspapers and articles. But there was the site on there, I think it was from Gale, called Opposing Viewpoints. And I had to now get to see the other side of Thomas Jefferson. And I was assigned the task of defending him. So I go into Opposing Viewpoints, and this, what I would call today a website, blew my mind. It was two sides of Thomas Jefferson, one saying he's the greatest, one saying he was really pretty rotten. So now I had to get in and go, okay, how do I understand the darker side of something when all I want to see is that he was a great president, he wrote the Declaration of Independence, like all this wonderful stuff. But now I had to defend against his acts as a slaveholder. And I had to find a way to merge the two and defend or articulate positivity towards a man that was doing really bad things. And it didn't sit right. I didn't know how to reconcile the two. How do I say he was a good person when slavery is so clearly wrong? And I learned very quickly that two things can be true at once. And once I grabbed onto that, it was like, whoa, my green, innocent, hopeful self said, I've got a lot of learning to do. And when I opened that door a little bit, it's like there's so much more to people. I don't know. It was very uncomfy, but I remember sitting there looking and going, mind blown. And then I thought, what else is in this thing? What else? What other opposing viewpoints can I dig into? And it really fueled my desire for curiosity. What else could be true? And can I hold two truths at the same time?
And in fact, I know that you you took that experience and it actually fueled the way you behaved then as you taught high schoolers. So tell me a little bit about that.
So fast forward about 10 years and, you know, from this microfiche, now Google is rampant, smartphones are happening, and I'm looking at my kids, my students, my 10, 11, 12th grade kids, and I'm like, they have no idea how to interpret this information. So with my 11th grade students, I put in this really, what I really believe is a fun project because of the way their eyes opened. So current events are a big thing, but they're kind of boring and tedious. And we tend to, you know, even as adults, just read what we read, take it in and not really challenge it. So I sent the kids home and said, go home, watch the news, pick a story, a major story, and write down the who, the what, the where, the when, the why, and the how, and then identify if there's any bias. And so they go in, or they come in the next day, we go through the things, it's pretty benign. Then I say, great, now take that and set it aside. Now pick the same story from one of the other sides. Identify the who, the what, the where, the when, the why, and the how, and what you can of the bias. I'm telling you, they came in the next day like, Miss B, you have no idea what we found. It is so different. And I said, oh, that's interesting. Tell me about it. And what they saw was that based on the media production, based on the person presenting it, they got a very different story with the same facts. So they saw that a fact could not only be manipulated, but it could be comparable to something else and tell a totally different story.
Because everything has a perspective. Everything, yes. We all come to information with our own lens,
yep.
And our own biases.
And truly with our own lens. Do you remember a couple of years ago when that dress broke the internet, the one that was like blue and brown or white and gold, and everyone
was blue and gold, white and gold. Yeah.
Something
yeah.
like that. And it, people broke over it. Like they couldn't understand it, but we literally see the world differently. And what I wanted my kids to learn that day and every day beyond is that they have agency. It's their choice, but they have to make sure they're getting good information so that they can say what is most right for me. So watching their eyes go wide, watching them get frustrated. I wanted them to be frustrated. I wanted them to feel a little lied to. I wanted them to feel a little deceived. Because once they know it, now they can say, okay, I hear you, this channel and that channel. I'm going to go watch the other one. And then I'm going to come in the middle and draw my own conclusion. Because if we can't embrace the opposing viewpoint and say, well, what else could it be? Is it possible to hold these two truths at the same time? And what's in it for them? What's in it for the person giving me the information? Because we are being inundated with noise. And they, if they're not stopping to go, what do I actually think about this? We're going to be railroaded as a nation, right? Like if we can't just slow down and go, what do I actually think? And that's where when we talk about being curious, we also, I find, have to couple it with a little compassion to create some space for understanding. And if we believe Oprah, which, you know, she's done pretty good for guiding us so far, she says everything we do is based on one of two things, love or fear. And if I can take my fear-based response of I'm angry, I don't like this, I don't want this, and I can just look until I can find the love, right? Like in our current political, cultural climate today, gosh, I spend a lot of time doing this, right? But when I look at these groups gathering, I go, what are they afraid of? And then I look to what's the love that's behind that, that they're trying to protect. Now, I'm not saying I agree with the behaviors, but I can see with compassion where it was coming from. And so when we can look for the love that's behind what's driving the fear, it gives us that space of understanding. And if nothing else, it makes my anxiety, my nervous system relax a little bit.
Michaela, such great insights, such a great story. How can people find you, and how does all of this sort of influence the work that you do now yeah. with your coaching and your podcast?
So thank you. My podcast is really just such a beautiful project that I started. And I believe that we all have divine gifts within us. I don't care where your divine comes from, but you and I both and everyone listening has a divine gift. And I believe that when we can harness that, we can use that to grow, to change, and to serve. So I work with people to be able to communicate who they are, what they want, and to go for it with a sense of confidence, because life is too short to be caught in the middle or have other people making our decisions for us. And I believe that we all have our own volition, and I want to bring that out in people. So you can find me at My Joy Coach across social media and myjoycoach.com online, and I would love to chat.
And the podcast is called
And All the Things. Yep. Because we are not just one thing, right? So when I interview Julie Rose, it's not going to be a tell us everything about your bio. It's let's get curious about all the parts of the person that get you to this place where you can stand and say, I have a gift to give the world, and I'm going to do it.
Michaela, thank you so much for
your time.
You're
so welcome.
That's life coach and podcaster Michaela Birdieshaw. And thank you for getting uncomfy with us today. Have you had a stick with it experience lately? I would love to hear about it. You can email us uncomfy@byu.edu or connect with us on social media and let us know. Maybe we'll even have you on the show. So many of my stick with it experiences involve situations just like Michaela's, where I'm choosing to keep reading, to stay curious about a topic that I feel strongly about. One of my regular habits is to open up the opinion section of a news website, pick a perspective I disagree with the very most, and then read every single word, which is tough because I feel a lot of anger and irritation, superiority, fear, all those things, and I really just want to quit reading. But when I choose to stay uncomfy, I almost always find something in that opinion that surprises or that helps me clarify my own position on the topic. In fact, the other podcast I host, called Top of Mind, is all about trying to find perspectives that challenge us to think more critically about our own views. So join me there for a regular chance to stick with it and practice your uncomfy muscle. Find Top of Mind on Spotify, YouTube, and Apple. Uncomfy is a BYU radio podcast. Samuel Benson produces it, and the team includes Enrique Prado, James Hoops, Sam Payne, and Brandon Lewis. Our theme music was composed by Kelsey Ney. I'm Julie Rose. Can't wait to get uncomfy with you again next week. Hey friends, it's Julie. I want to tell you about another show I'm really enjoying right now. It's called Kaboom. It's an audio adventure podcast, also from BYU Radio, and it is for the whole family to enjoy together. Every episode features a new adventure with sound effects and professional voice actors. Whether it's a teleportation experiment gone wrong, or an ancient Viking curse wreaking havoc on the high school football team, or a baby dragon hiding in the attic, Kaboom is such a fun listen. It is perfect for chore time, road trips, maybe even bedtime if it doesn't get your kids too amped up. And the best part is that every episode includes some subtle life lessons, insights that you can discuss with your kids. So subscribe to Kaboom on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.